When you're talking about magic, the one name you don't expect to come up with is Richard Dawkins. A scientist and outspoken atheist, Dawkins is a relentless promoter of science and reason. Steve Paulson wondered why, in that case, his most recent book is called The Magic of Reality.
You are an evolutionary biologist. Why did you want to talk about magic in your new book?
There are different meanings of magic, and I wanted to make a contrast between the magic as in supernatural magic spells or biblical miracles, and stage magic, which is just tricks, of course, and the magic which you wish to express when you say something like, look at the stars, isn't it a magical sight? Or look at the Grand Canyon, what a magical view. The magic of what's real, the magic of what's true, and what's marvelous because it is true.
Let's talk about that for a moment. How do you think that plays out in our society, sort of not being able to distinguish between the supernatural and the real?
There are many people who are very eager when they don't understand something, when they don't know of a scientific explanation, or maybe science hasn't yet got an explanation, who will instantly reach for the easy solution of a supernatural explanation. I actually think that the very idea of the supernatural is incoherent nonsense.
Give me some examples of that. What you see as some of the most common kinds of supernatural explanations?
Well, you mentioned my own field of biology. The evolution of life itself is now fairly well understood. The origin of life is not yet understood. We don't know how the first self-replicating molecule got going, which was the necessary first step before evolution. And so there are theists who will leap on that and say, aha, you don't know how it started. God must have done that. That's a very good example of a case where, because science doesn't yet know the answer, that this means we can immediately plug the gap with a totally false supernatural explanation.
Now, you talked about another kind of magic, what you describe in your book as poetic magic. Can you explain what you mean by this?
Everything about the world, if looked at in a scientific way, in the right scientific way, can be thought to have a sort of romantic poetry about it. Carl Sagan was very good at evoking this. He really looked up at the stars, looked up at the galaxies, looked up the vast wastes of space, and saw a poetic magic in that. And I think you can do the same if you look down a microscope and look at the inside of a living cell, or a scanning electron microscope and look at the face of an ant, or if you look back in geological time, if you go to the Grand Canyon and look at the different strata and reflect that as you go down and down and down, you're going back through tens of millions, hundreds of millions of years. There's something magical about all those things and about almost anything scientific if you look at it in the right way.
So you still find this awe-inspiring. I mean, you've been studying science, particularly evolution, for most of your life. It sounds like you still marvel at what you see.
Well, I do. I mean, I don't want to give the impression that I go around like somebody on a sort of LSD trip going, man, look at that, man, and stuff like that. I mean, you know, I get on with my ordinary life, but in my more reflective moments, when contemplating the universe through the eyes of science, yes, I do.
There are plenty of people who talk about the awe and wonder of nature, and it seems to me that this kind of experience can work in two very different ways. One is to really understand the science. So when you look at a butterfly or an oak tree, you know the evolutionary history of these organisms, the biological systems that give them life, the environmental factors that allow them to survive in particular habitats. Or you can simply be dazzled by the beauty without knowing anything about the science. And I've had this experience myself, feeling euphoric in certain wild places where it seems to me I kind of lose my sense of myself, and it seems like I'm part of some larger whole. And I guess I'm wondering which kind of poetic magic you are talking about.
Yes, you put that very well, and I empathize with both those. One of my earlier books, Unweaving the Rainbow, really the whole book is devoted to that juxtaposition of those two sorts of awe. I feel both. I think they're both part of a full human experience. I think that if you only respond in the poetic way and don't respond in the scientific way as well, then you are missing something. But actually, you're missing something if you only respond in a scientific way.
Well, I mention this partly because some people would describe that second, more emotional response as being spiritual, even if they don't believe in God or nature, spirits, or anything like that. And I guess I'm wondering if that word spiritual has any resonance for you.
Well, we're playing with words now, and you can use a word like spiritual for that if you wish, so long as it doesn't get misunderstood, which it very well might be. I mean, Einstein has a famous saying, I can never remember which way around it goes, but it's something like science without religion is lame, religion without science is blind. And what Einstein meant by that, of course, was precisely that spiritual meaning which you're now talking about. What Einstein did not mean is anything religious. Einstein was most emphatic on the point. But Einstein was misunderstood because he used religious language, he used even used the word God, to express that sense of poetic spirituality. And so I actually prefer, I certainly prefer not to use the word God. I think Einstein made a big mistake in doing that because people were only too eager to misunderstand him.
But you do understand this impulse that really does seem to go beyond rational understanding, just the powerful emotional experience of something that just happens to you especially when you're in nature.
Yes, I certainly do. And actually the beginning of my book, The God Delusion, describes that feeling, puts it into the eyes of a young man who eventually went into the priesthood, and he was lying on his stomach with his face in the grass, and he saw the blades of grass, and he saw insects crawling around and things, and he felt this, he might have called it numinous feeling of oneness with the universe, and I empathized with that and explicitly did so. But in his case, it led him to the priesthood, and in my case, similar experiences led me to science. There is nothing supernatural about that. This is a normal reaction of the human brain, a very beautiful one, and it's to be praised. But don't let's get muddled and misled into thinking that there's anything supernatural about it.
Richard Dawkins is the author of The God Delusion and The Selfish Gene. His newest book is called The Magic of Reality.